didn't say it, Martin, but there was a man from the churches in Egypt, and he was saying that the Coptic church, which is the most ancient church in the world, goes really right back to the first century, even to the time just after Christ's death. And personally, I'm a bishop in the Orthodox Church, which again goes as far back. And there was an East and West, if you want, in one sense. But the Coptic Church, the Evangelicals, the Catholics, they're all getting together in Egypt.
Amen.
And they are praying together and they are celebrating together, and Muslims are getting saved.
Amen.
And there are signs, there are wonders, and there are miracles.
Yes, that's what the answer is.
And you know, they were gathering together in Cairo, just outside Cairo, in a massive cave. And they were there praying that God would bring revival back to Egypt.
Amen.
That the presence of God would be seen. And it's beginning to happen.
Amen.
We need to pray.
Amen.
I'll say it again. We need to pray. Prayer changes things. And it is, as we pray together, it will change the circumstances. It will change the atmosphere in this area of intake. It will change the atmosphere in Doncaster, right?
Yes.
It will change you and it will change me.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? So prayer is so important. And you can measure how strong a church is by how well attended the prayer meeting is. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I said you can measure how strong a church is by how well attended the prayer meeting is. Would you like to just say that for me in Nepalese?
Tobago amro chi abo church ora church kosiri bolle chhone kosiri thaun chha bhanne chi abo prayer meeting rakhere kati jana prayer meeting ma auchan tisiri thaun chha church ma chi kati shaktishali chha church bhanera.
I really don't care what language you pray in. But when we come together as a force. And we come together and we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are declaring our faith and our unity in Christ Jesus. And secondly, when we come together, we're declaring our unity before principalities and powers, before the devil, and say to him, get underneath my feet. And when we start to move in that direction, when we start to pray together, we're going to see signs, wonders and miracles. You know, Jesus often went to pray. And Jesus went up the mountain to pray. And there's one instance where he takes some of his disciples with him. And he said to them, wait here and pray. I'm going on alone to pray. And Jesus came back an hour later and his disciples were asleep. You've read the story. There they were. Prayer can be so unexciting, but when you get focused and you have Jesus, and then when you begin to quote the Word of God, principalities and powers begin to bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, could you not tarry with me? Couldn't you just stay awake? And again they fall asleep. Jesus puts importance on prayer.
Amen.
You know, after the death of Jesus Christ, the disciples began to gather together in the upper room and prayed. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And suddenly one day, as they were praying, we read at the beginning of Acts, there was a mighty rushing wind and flames of fire came upon their heads. This, by the way, this is not my message that I prepared. Jokingly, when I came in the church, I said to somebody, I said, you know, I'm going to, what are you doing with the petrol can? I said, well, I said, if I don't get them praying and rejoicing and magnifying the Lord, I said, I'm going to just sprinkle some petrol around them and set it on fire, and maybe God will set them on fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. But you know, I just suddenly remembered I got this can at the back here. It's full, you know. God did not need to use petrol for the Holy Spirit to come. Amen. Yeah, that's the point. Elijah used water. You remember the story of Elijah with the prophets of Baal? And he said, you call down fire from heaven. Get your Baal to bring down fire and burn up this that you're offering. And when they'd cut themselves and they'd screamed and shouted and jumped up and down all day, Elijah said to them, and this is what one Bible translation says, maybe your God sat on the toilet. He was goading them, you know. And then when they'd finished, Elijah prepares the sacrifice to the living God. Amen. And he says to them, I need some water. And they begin to draw water, and they pour water after water after water, and they fill the trench around the altar. The wood is soaking wet. The offering is soaking wet. The altar is soaking wet. The ground is soaking wet. He didn't then suddenly think, I'll just go and get a can of petrol and, you know, I'll just, sprinkle a little bit around. He just turned and he prayed. And he prayed to his God. And God answered with fire. He answered with fire, and the fire came down and it burnt up the sacrifice. It burnt up the wood. It burnt up the altar. And it lapped up all the water that was inside. The ground was bone dry when God had finished. Amen.
And glory to
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Prayer is powerful. When you know God, when you know God as your Lord and Savior, prayer will change things. And when the disciples were gathered together in that upper room, 120 of them, and they were praying for God to come to them, for God to minister to them, for God to give them confidence, for God to begin to use them, then suddenly a rushing, mighty wind came in the room, and it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, tongues of fire settled on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages, in other tongues. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus did not just want you to speak in other tongues. That is not what the work of the Holy Spirit is about. But the work of the Holy Spirit was to come to give you and me boldness. To give us boldness. See, when I was a teenager, I was shy. I was quiet. You know, they used to have us in Sunday school and you'd have to recite poetry. You'd to learn poetry. And then you'd have to stand up front and you'd have to begin to speak it out. Oh, Lord, I hated it. I was so afraid. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 18, something began to change in me. There was a changing happening in me because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will baptize you with power. It is not for purely speaking in tongues. It is that you be endued with power. He gives you confidence. He gives you courage. He gives you words. That we have the victory through Christ Jesus. No principality, no power.
Amen.
No power can defeat the children of Jesus Christ. When we put Jesus right into the center of our lives, nothing can defeat us. Amen? Do you believe that? And when we let Jesus be the center of our lives, then things change. Amen? Now I'm going to preach my sermon. Hallelujah. That's just the warm-up. That's just to get you all excited and get you pumping fire. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not tired. I'm energized. You know, I've got the ever-ready batteries of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm thrilled with the presence of God. You know, when I go home and I leave church, I go home, you know, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just racing around. Glory. What happened?
I thought they understood that.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Let me tell you this. If you're feeling unwell, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling exhausted, then get yourself to church. Hallelujah! Amen.
Amen.
Because when the Holy Spirit comes and He fills and He quickens and He energizes you, you just go out and you say, bring it on. Come on, devil, bring it on. Amen, you believe it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't stay, you know, if you're feeling unwell, if you're feeling depressed, don't stay away from church. Get to church. Amen.
Amen.
When I was a teenager, not long ago, what did he say?
Doesn't believe you, mate.
He don't believe. I thought that.
Didn't need no explanation.
I didn't need no explanation on that one. I knew what he said. When I was a teenager, not too long ago, hallelujah, I was working in industry, and we would work well maybe 8 o'clock at night. And the church that I was going to was a church in Doncaster, and I was working in Sheffield. And I would jump on my motorcycle, and I would ride past home. I wouldn't stop to get my tea. I'd go straight to the prayer meeting just to get there for the last half hour of the prayer meeting, just in case God had turned up and I'd missed something. And if you start doing that, you'll be as crazy as Roy and I. He used to be on the marketplace preaching the gospel, declaring the word of the Lord. Yes? I was so hungry for the things of the Spirit that the things of this world counted for nothing. I wanted God first. Food can come later. John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 7. And it says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And verse 8 says this: by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and in so prove to be my disciple. Abide. What does it mean? The dictionary puts it like this: abide means to remain, to continue, to dwell, to remain faithful, having a permanency, always there, and trustworthy. Amen. To be, I put this also, to be a good friend, dependable, will always speak the truth. You know, sometimes we can have, if we've got really good friends, people who can speak the truth to us, they may say something to us that we don't like. So what do we do? If a true friend tells us the truth because they love us, they're concerned for us, they want the best for us, do we then just say, I'm not your friend anymore because I don't like what you said? No. You have regards for that person and say, thank you. Thank you for being honest and looking out for me. I needed that. Amen? Those are the type of friends you need around you. You don't need friends around you that say, oh, just ignore what they say and just do what you want. It's all right. That's not the type of friend you need. You need a friend who will speak the truth to you. You know, sometimes when God speaks to me, I don't like what God says. Have you ever been in that situation where God's told you to do something and you're like, oh, no, 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 no. Have you ever been in those situations? And you know, we have to come to that point where we say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. If we're going to do great things in the future together, one of the most important things that we need to do is we need to be abiding in the vine. Jesus is the vine. This book is Jesus. We need to be in this book. We need to be connected. We need to be grafted in. You see, you and I, we were from the wild rootstock. In England, we have roses. And the roses grow and they produce wonderful blooms. But at the end of each blooming season, you take a pair of secateurs and you begin to cut away to prepare for next year. And so when you do that, you begin to prepare that plant for new growth and for even better blooms next year. But if you leave it, the old nature begins to appear. And for those of you that know, when the old nature appears, it begins to bring a shoot from the bottom. The shoot begins at the bottom. It comes from the pit. And it grows faster. It grows faster than any other branch on the rose tree. And gardeners call these branches suckers. And what that sucker does, it sucks the life out of the rest of the plant. It takes all the goodness from the plant and sucks it into itself and just continues to go wild. There's another telltale sign as to whether it's a sucker or whether it's quality. And on a rose tree, if I'm right, Graham, refresh my mind, but on a good rose branch, on the leaves, there are 7 leaves. So when the leaves come out, there are 7 little leaves on this little branch. And you said, that's a good one. You know, I find this amazing because 7 is the number of perfection in God. Wow. Fantastic, isn't it? Now, when the sucker appears, it produces, is it 5 leaves? I think it produces just 5 leaves. And it looks a different colour as well. So it's easy to identify. And so what we have to be careful of in our lives is that we need to be abiding in the vine. We need to be grafted so that nothing can break us away. That we're grafted into the vine. And when the winds blow, it cannot break that connection. When troubles come, it cannot prevent that connection, because all the time goodness from the vine is flowing into the branches, that the branch might bring forth good fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is so important that we stay connected to Jesus. And if we don't stay connected to Jesus, then the devil comes in. We know that even your own children living in a Christian-based family, unless they have a personal connection, personal relationship with Jesus, they will not survive in this world. I can point to people. Daniel, Christian mother, but yet didn't have a personal experience with Jesus. Sandip, Christian parents. But unless he has a personal relationship with Jesus, he's overtaken by drugs. Helen had a Christian grandmother. Prayed for every day. The only reason she's in church today, the only reason she's in a relationship with Jesus Christ, well, the main reason is because every day her grandmother prayed that she would come to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Saviour. If she, if Sandip, if Daniel, if Martin, if I had not met Jesus, if we'd have carried on the direction that our lives were going, even Roy, when he gets his voice back, he'll tell you the same story. He was going to hell on a fast rocket. And Jesus got hold of him. And you made that connection. Amen. Was that the best decision you ever made? Oh yes, hallelujah. You see, that's faith. That's faith in Jesus. Amen. Come on. Give him an applauding for his faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm still believing for that speech to come back.
Amen.
I know. And it's going to come back clear. Yes, I want miracles.
Yes,
I believe I serve and you serve a God of miracles.
Yes,
amen. And we want you leaping and dancing and praising God. Amen. But it comes when the church comes together and begins to pray together, and the power of a living God sweeps through the place in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't come by intellect. It doesn't come by great learning. But it comes by my Spirit, says the Lord. And if my people, who are called by that mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says if they will humble themselves and pray. Oh, watch out. In Acts, that very one day, there were 3,000 added to the church because the coward, Peter, near. Come here. Yes. That is your name, isn't it? Huh? You were christened by that name, were you? Well, good, I'm glad. Come here. So here we have the story. Jesus is before the high priest. They're making judgment over him. And Peter sneaks into the place. You see, Peter knew people. And he sneaks into the place and he stood to one side. And he's listening to what is going on. And Jesus had already said to him before the cock crows, "You'll deny me three times." Twice during that evening, while he was still watching all that was going on, he denied that he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, "I don't know him." And finally, a girl comes along, round about the age of near, and comes over to Peter. "You're one of his disciples." And Peter begins to say, "No, I don't know him." To swear and to curse and to blaspheme. And at that moment, and Peter thinks so, looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, afraid of a little girl, afraid of a little girl. And yet when Pentecost, when he's baptized in the Holy Ghost, out of the 12 disciples, out of the 120 that were following Jesus, he stood there in the crowd in the marketplace and he begins to declare,
Amen,
who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God,
Amen,
the Holy One,
Amen,
sent from heaven,
yes,
to redeem all of mankind to himself,
Amen,
and that everyone that is a sinner but can be saved and forgiven through the work of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, every one of us needs to repent and turn from our wicked ways and come to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The coward becomes a mighty evangelist for Jesus. Amen. You see, it's not about your abilities. God's ability in you. Yes? You see, I know recently that Esther has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Isn't it good? Eh? It's great, isn't it? Eh? Hallelujah. It is exciting when we are filled with the Spirit of God. He endues us with power, gives us boldness, gives us a freedom to just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wherever we are. In whatever situation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul and Silas, they got thrown into prison, chained up, feet in the stocks. They'd been whipped, their backs are bleeding and sore. Silas says to Paul, "We've had a bad day today. I've been beaten. I don't know if I can carry on with this anymore." And Paul looks at him and says, "Let's sing a hymn." And they begin to sing praise to God. And they begin to worship and worship. And the Bible says, and all of a sudden the ground shook. And it says their chains fell off. The prison door was thrown open. Hallelujah. You praise Him in every situation. And we praise Him in every circumstance. Paul says this, "Yet though He slay me, I will praise the Lord." Eh? Come on. It's not about, "Oh, I'm having a great time, I'll praise God because I'm having a great time." But it's when you're having a difficult time that you got to say, "I'm got to praise God." Because you see, when you sat in despair, and you're fed up. "I wish I'd never bothered doing this. In fact, I've had it. You can keep it. I've finished. You go and do what you want. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to sit here on my own and have a real pity party." Is nobody going to join me in my pity party? You mean I'm all alone? Oh dear. That's not good. And then all of a sudden, you begin to thank God. You begin to praise Him. And you begin to see light. And you begin to see joy. And you begin to see hope. And the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, but trust God with your heart." Yeah. You know why God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and gets hold of your tongue? He does it because our tongue can get us into trouble. Oof. The Word of God says it's only small, but it can cause... It can set a fire. It can set a forest on fire, can that little tongue. It's more powerful than petrol. Be careful. Every one of us... I've got one of these. Let's have a look. Have you got one? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see. Everybody's got one of these. A tongue. And boy, some of us can get into real trouble with our tongue. I remember my senior bishop once came from America. And he was preaching. And he said, "Your pastor has a problem." And I thought, uh-oh, what problem do I have? And he then went on to say, "Your pastor's problem is that he takes his arrow and he shoots a straight arrow." I go to the point, I go to the problem, I go to the thing that's important. I shoot a straight arrow. And he says, that's his problem. "Sometimes I might be a little bit too quick with my sword. But I do it really because I love you." Amen? Our tongue. It can get us out of problems as well. Your tongue can get you out of depression. Your tongue can get you out of sickness. Your tongue can get you out of disease. Your tongue can get you out of your destiny of going to hell. Because he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then you've been redeemed from an eternal damnation. Is that true? We've been redeemed, and our tongue, our confession, has set us free because we've agreed with the Word of God. Proverbs says this, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. If you speak the Word of God, if you speak good things, it is a tree of life. Tree of life. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. And it says death. It says death and life is in the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. We jokingly at times pick each other up and say, watch what you're saying. Don't we?
We do, yes.
It's what brothers and sisters do, because this tongue will set our destiny.
Yeah.
This tongue will set our destiny and our future. When God created man, he created him in God's image. And when he created you in the image of God, he said, it is good. It is wonderful. It is perfect. It's beautiful. But how did God do it? It says in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God said. He didn't think and just leave it in as a thought. So often we say, well, I'm praying in my mind. No, we need to begin to declare before principalities and powers and rulers in high places. We need to change our thinking, and we need to hear what the Word of God says. And when God said, it's God is speaking. He's speaking it out. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your tongue, the Word of God, will set your destiny. And that's why we need to come together as a group of believers to pray. Because we're about embarking on changing the destiny of intake. Now you might say, well, that's a bit of a bold statement. And you might say, who do you think you are? Well, personally, I'm nobody until Jesus gets hold of me. When Jesus gets hold of us, I become a son of the King. And he says, I give you authority. Now we have to begin to proclaim and to declare our authority in Christ Jesus. So when we gather together in prayer, we begin to jointly declare the Word of God and declare that principalities and powers will bow the knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that many more English people, many more Nepalese people, many more Polish people will come and find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And if there are some African people, they can also come and find Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. I don't care what nationality they come from. They all need to find Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Friday night, we had 7 young people at the youth meeting. It was a good meeting. Oh, I was encouraged by the young people being there. We want Jesus to capture the heart of these young people. I want these young people to have such a relationship and to be set on fire. Be like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And all hell's breaking loose on them. Death is screaming them in the face. And they say, we will never deny the name of our God.
Amen.
Amen. When they were thrown in the fire, Before they were thrown in the fire, nobody said there's already somebody in there. But when they were thrown in the fire, suddenly the king looks in and says, did we not throw three people in? But I see four in that fire. When we get into difficulty, when we get into problems, the word of God comes and he said, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
I'll never forsake you. Amen. Lo, I am with you always, yes. Even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Praise God. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes our lives. As we speak the word of God, it sets a new destiny. It will change the area that we live in. We will see men and women who are broken right now come to Jesus as we come together and we begin to pray for the needs of our nation and for this area. Amen.